We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Monday. It's April 29th. It is 2024. We have a 9-game MLB slate to talk about here on today's podcast. Ryan Solo today. I was supposed to record with Will. I'm apologize to him already. I was at the Orlando Solar Bears playoff game, and it went into overtime, and it just got home. I knew I was going to get home late, so I text Will, and yeah, we're good. We're good, and I was researching the slate, getting ready to go live about 10 minutes ago, and Plate IQ was online, so I was like, hey, I was just going to record a podcast and post it, but hey, I'll post on YouTube. I'll go live, and if there's anybody up and they want to hang out, they can hang out with we, and I'll use Plate IQ. You guys have been loving the Plate IQ shares, so why not do it again? If you do like the Plate IQ shares, comment below. Tell me about it. Tell me you like it. I'm very tired, so if I rambled today, I'm sorry ahead of time. It's been a really, really long weekend in the NASCAR streets and dad life. Dave, Richie, Derek, K-Town, Ron, what's up? I know it actually is April 29th. I'm recording after midnight, and it's actually Monday here on the East Coast. I'm in Florida, and yeah, so appreciate everyone hanging out. It's late, and let's get into this slate. It's a really interesting slate, so I was breaking it down, like I said, and doing my research, and it's such an interesting slate. We got a lot of low totals on the slate with okay pitching, and then we got, you know, some really good pitchers on the slate. So looks like it's going to be one of these really interesting, you know, do I prioritize pitching or hitters today type of slates, and these are the slates that I absolutely love. So if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind YouTube page and come hang out with us live. Most of the time, like 95% of the time, we record at 10 p.m. Eastern, and if you turn on notifications, you could get these random, like tonight, recordings when we go live at 12:40 at night. So there you go. I'm going to post the link in chat if you want to take advantage of a 3-day trial for $19.99 of the Roto Grinders Premium Package. Feel free to do that and check it out. I mean, it's good. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, big slates and a lot of contests. So if you want to check that out, all that done, let's talk baseball. I'm ready to talk baseball. I love getting back into the swing of baseball after the weekend. I talk about it all the time. Don't play baseball on the weekends because I have so much to do with NASCAR. And always excited to roll around and get my five-day MLB DFS week going. We get started here with Kansas City at Toronto, 8.5 total. Toronto is a 142 favorite. I wrote these lines down about an hour ago. So if the lines have changed since then, I'm sorry. We got Jonathan Bolin going up against Rodriguez, Yarnell Rodriguez for Toronto. We'll start here with Bolin. He made one start last season, and it wasn't anything special. It was only three innings. He had three strikeouts. He gave up a lot of fly balls and struggled big time, but was missing bats, didn't walk anybody. And he started the season last year in Double A, kind of rose through the ranks pretty quick, pitched well in Double A, and then came up to Triple A, and again, just continued to struggle with home runs, and his whip was through the roof last season in the minors. And then this season, he's actually pitched really well in Triple A to start the season, and I think that's one of the reasons that they're calling him up here. Marsh, I think it was Alec Marsh, right, that got put on the IL. Yeah, Alec Marsh, he got hit with a line drive the other day. Alec Marsh did and got put on the IL. So, yeah, I mean, looking at Bolin, you know, obviously this is a guy that is unproven, and that's worrisome. He's not like this huge prospect, never was. Has good command and a really good slider, but that's really his pitch. He doesn't have much outside of that, and that's kind of why he struggles with fastball, fly balls and stuff. So, I don't think I want to play Jonathan Bolin today. I will say, like, he's 6K on DraftKings. I think I would roll the dice on, like, a Bailey Falter against Oakland at 65 before I would play Bolin today. And one of the other reasons, right, like, we look at this season for general, like, Toronto hasn't been good this season. We know that. But they're still not striking out. Like, there's only three hitters in this lineup with strikeout rates over 20%. Or I guess they have a fourth guy that's right at 20%. But he's probably not going to be in the lineup anyway, so it doesn't matter. But, I mean, this is just not a lineup that strikes out a ton. So even though they have struggled this season as far as, like, power and home run upside and stuff, they're still a team that's not generating a ton of strikeouts. So I don't necessarily think this is a spot I want to play Bolin. Going to the other side of this game, Rodriguez. We talked about him last time out. I don't remember if it was me solo or if I was on the podcast with someone. I pointed out a lot of stuff with Rodriguez that was worrisome for me, that I thought there was going to be a lot of negative regression. Now he's getting the same matchup. He's facing Kansas City in back-to-back starts. A lot of this stuff that concerned me, like 69% hard hits, swinging strike rate way down, even though, like, his strikeout rate's at 28.5, his swinging strike rate is kind of low. A lot of concerns here. The BABIP's really high. I think this is a spot we want to be off of Rodriguez, and I said this last time out against Kansas City. I didn't really want to play him. His pitch count still pretty low. They were very quick to hook him last time again. So I have a lot more interest here in the Kansas City bats than I do Rodriguez just in general. So looking at these bats, I have it switched over to the current season, but look how fantastic these guys have been. Bobby Witt, 264 ISO, 412 WOBA. Vinny Pascantino, 246 ISO, 362 WOBA. Salvador Perez, 276 ISO, 421 WOBA, and then Melendez, 266 ISO with a 319 WOBA. If we look at some of the advanced stats for them, they're hitting the ball up in the air, and they're hitting the ball hard. So all these guys, I think, are fantastic plays here. I don't know if I get to too much in the bottom with, like, Massey and Isabel, but even these guys I don't hate in this matchup because I do think there is still some negative regression for Rodriguez. And if you get to the bad part of the bullpen, it's still not good for Toronto. They do have a good front end. They got some arms back, but I think this is a spot I want to play some Kansas City bats. And then as far as the Toronto bats go in this one, I do like the Toronto bats. I don't think Bolin's going to be like an overpowering pitcher. And kind of going back to what we talked about a lot last year, like, or last week, Toronto's still pretty cheap. You got to pay a little bit more for Vlad now at 48 and Bichette at 47, but we're still getting Varsho under 4K. He's having a fantastic start. Jansen, who got activated and just came back, he's hit the ball really hard. So you love to see that. Hit his first home run over the weekend. So, again, I think that this is just one of those spots you just kind of trust these Toronto bats. And I think I use Toronto more as like a mini stack than a full stack today. And it's more of like I still don't trust this lineup like 100%. I will say I have a little bit more interest if they like if they get Vogelbach in the lineup here. He's 3K. So I love that price point for like his potential upside. And then Addison Barger, I'm still believing in him. He's hit the ball hard multiple times, to start out the season here since getting called up. So I think this is a spot we could take some shots on Addison Barger as well at this price point. He's still minimum salary on DK, so he's going to be somebody that I'm getting into my builds for sure, especially when I'm like building out some stuff on lineup HQ scripting. Cubs, Mets, 8 total in this game. Mets a 120 favorites. We got Jameson Taillon against Luis Severino. Starting here with Taillon, last time out actually pitched pretty decent again, like 2 decent starts, and that was against Houston. Not saying too much. This game is in Citi Field, which is a nice ballpark bump for the pitching, especially Jameson Taillon. So kind of looking at this matchup, obviously like the top half of this lineup, getting JD Martinez adds a little bit more protection for Pete Alonso, which I don't know if it hurts Taillon or helps Taillon, because typically Taillon is better against righties than he is against lefties. If we look back to last year when he was healthy, 23.5% Ks or 23.3% strikeouts against righties, 289 WOBA, 124 ISO, really struggle with like left-handed power. And one of the reasons that I think you could potentially take some shots here on Taillon is because they don't really have a ton of power lefties in this lineup. Like, I wouldn't necessarily call Brandon Nimmo like a power lefty. I wouldn't call Francisco Lindor like a power lefty. They're really good hitting left-handed hitters, but they're not like power lefties. A lot of the power in this lineup comes from Pete Alonso. JD Martinez is going to bring some power. DJ Stewart brings some power for sure. But that's, if you look at the bottom half of the lineup, it's just not a good lineup in general. So I think Taillon at 7,500, we kind of expect him to get over 90 pitches in this start through 89 last time out. Got that nice little like 16 pitch bump. We always say like 10 to 15 pitch increase usually from a guy coming off an injury. So I think this is a spot we see Taillon throw 90-plus pitches, and I just like the price point on DK. I think the price point is super fair. I'll be honest, I haven't looked at FanDuel pricing yet for tomorrow's slate, but I don't even know if like Taillon is that guy you play on FanDuel anyway. I'm quickly pulling it up. So Taillon's price on FanDuel, $9,300. I don't think that's like the worst thing ever. He's just so close to some of these top end guys that it might be tough to play him here. I like him a lot more on DK. Severino on the other side of this game. You all know, if you've been listening to the podcast all this year, I'm a huge believer in Luis Severino being healthy, pitching really well, kind of struggled last time out, gave up a few earned runs against the Giants, but again, hit that 6-inning mark. Had 5 strikeouts, didn't walk anybody. That's a huge plus for Severino because, like, walks are always kind of his biggest thing. But, I mean, if we look at the stats this year, his ground ball rate is through the roof, really generating ground balls here by throwing his cutter and sinker combo. I don't know if it's necessarily like a sinker, but his fastball has, like, a sinking motion to it. So, like, he does use this, like, cutter, fastball, sinker combo. But he's generating a lot of ground balls, and he still has like this strikeout pitch down here. I knew I was going to do that. but he still has his strikeout pitch with like the slider, and he mixes in and generates enough whiffs with the sweeper. So, I mean, he's throwing his pitches well. He looks healthy. I think this is a spot at this price point. Like, he's in play. Again, this is a good ballpark. The Cubbies lineup kind of watered down a little bit here with some injury. You know, Bellinger being out of the lineup, Suzuki being out of the lineup. Those are huge losses to this lineup in general. So a lot of strikeouts in this lineup right now. Bush is striking out a lot. Swanson strikes out. Mervis, since getting called up, strikes out a lot. He really hasn't shown any kind of promise yet. So yeah, I mean, a lot of young hitters in this lineup, and I think Severino could, you know, pitch six quality innings again, get a few strikeouts. And I think at this price point, he's very much in play on DraftKings. Again, like, I could see him getting a quality start and a potential win here on FanDuel, but I think you're going to find better options, but I don't hate it. As far as the bats here for the Cubs, I think I would look towards like the cheaper bats, like a guy like Tauchman. This isn't like a stack spot for me. You know, typically throughout his career, Luis Severino has been worse against lefties. He's been a lot better against lefties this season. He's not really giving up any power to lefties, but he's still giving enough hard contact. Like, I think you want to kind of target some fly ball hitters here. Like, Michael Bush is a fly ball guy. So that's a guy you want to potentially target. Tauchman, he hits the ball up in the air enough as well. So I think overall, looking at, you know, Michael Bush and just kind of hoping that, like, he doesn't strike out, Tauchman, I think is fine. And then on DK, Crow Armstrong, I think, is still cheap enough where we could play him. I really wish they'd, like, move him up in the lineup. That'd be fantastic, right? Maybe, like, I don't know where they'd hit him, technically. I think he could potentially hit, like, in front of Swanson behind Bush, but I don't know. It's working. He's hitting, so why not? Why change it, right? But yeah, no like stacks here for me on the Cubs, and no real stacks for me on the Mets. I will say, like, I don't mind like power chasing here with the cheap DJ Stewart. We talk about him all the time as like as far as just like cheap value that has home run upside. He only has 3 home runs this year, but he continues to have a 292 ISO against right-handed pitching since the start of last season. So you're not going to find many guys under 3K on DK that have an ISO at 292 and the pitcher that struggles with lefties more than he struggles with righties. So DJ Stewart would probably be my favorite play. I mean, Nimmo, I think, is in play as well. But again, I'm using bats in this game as like one-offs. It's not like a stack spot. So it's just, hey, do I want a little bit of exposure to these guys kind of thing? Minnesota at Chicago, taking on the White Sox. This game has a 7.5 total. Minnesota's a 162 favorite. We got Joe Ryan going up against Garrett Crochet. We'll start here with Joe Ryan. Just pitched against the White Sox his last time out, through 92 pitches, 8 strikeouts. Gave up a couple bombs in that game, but still like had a really good outing. I mean, it was okay. I wouldn't say it was like excellent, but it was a good outing. He's expensive. He's 10-4. Again, like, looking at this season for the White Sox, they don't strike out a ton. If they do get like Maldonado and DeJong and Mendick in there, they obviously strike out more. Vaughn strikes out. So I think it's kind of, strikeout wise, is definitely a lineup. Like, if you're in the betting world, I don't think I bet like Joe Ryan's strikeouts until I see the lineup. I think that makes a huge difference. So, I mean, they're hurting and injury-wise, just in general here. And I got Tommy Pham. He got activated, I think it was Friday, right? I'm pretty sure Pham got activated Friday. So overall, I have a ton of interest in Joe Ryan. It's the price scares me a little bit. But like, Joe Ryan, I think, would be the player on like FanDuel where I'd be building like cash lineups around. I think I'd just pay up for Joe Ryan. I think he's like your cash game pitcher over on FanDuel. And if you're playing cash games on DK, I think there's enough value where 10-4, you're making it work. I think it's just a really good spot. Again, the White Sox stink. Crochet facing Minnesota for the second straight time. I hate this. I absolutely hate this. facing teams for the back-to-back times. I'm starting to get a little concerned, right? I have been a firm believer in Crochet, but I watched a lot of that start, and I will say he got squeezed a couple times. He did get squeezed a couple times, so you were worried about that a little bit. But overall, you just worry a little bit about some of the stuff that we're seeing, right? Like, he's missing bats a lot less. He's getting hit a little bit harder. He really starts to struggle at the, like, 60, 70-ish pitch range. And, I mean, this is a guy that they kind of wanted him to be a reliever. He wasn't supposed to be the starters, and the White Sox are like, we have to have starters because all of our guys are hurt. I like Crochet in general, but I think if I'm playing him, it's not a lot. It's large field tournament only. He's not like a core play for me here. He came back out like in the fifth the last time out. And because I remember we talked about this too on the podcast, like the next day, we had a strikeout prop over 6.5. And he came back out in that start and gave up a double to the first hitter. He was up 0-2 or something and like kind of fluffed a pitch over the middle and gave up a double and they yanked him. So, I mean, looking at like the potential lineup here for Minnesota, they're going to hit 9 righties against him. And if we look at it, his strikeout rate's much higher against lefties this season, but his WOBA is really high. His ISO is really high. His fly ball rate's really high. His hard hit rate's really high. So I think if I'm playing it, I don't think I'm going to play a lot of Crochet. So let's talk bats in this one. On the Minnesota side, obviously Jeffers is someone that I love playing against left-handed pitching. He's like 4,200, so he's in that like uncomfortable price range for me at catcher, but he's just off to a really strong start. Could potentially hit leadoff here. I love leaving Buxton out of my Minnesota like minis and full stacks. It's just one of my favorite things to do because he's always your chalky like Minnesota play. And I think he's a good hitter. I'm not saying that he's not. It's just I love leaving him off my stacks because like he's always like the chalky Minnesota stack player. Margot, I think, is fine. Miranda, low strikeouts. I don't mind him. Carlos Santana has a little pep in his step right now. I still get alerts, and he's still like, just keeps hitting. I mean, he's hit, what, 3 home runs in the last 4 games. So I do like Carlos Santana more from the right side of the plate than the left side. Castro is someone that we've been using for value a ton. He's 3,100 here. He's smoking the baseball. What, he's multiple hits in 4 of his last 5 games. I mean, Willie Castro just keeps hitting the ball. And then if you're not playing Jeffers and you want to make your stack a little different, Vasquez is 2,300 on DraftKings today. Definitely one of my favorite punt catchers on the slate, assuming that both of these guys are in the lineup. Jeffers probably DHs and Vasquez probably catches in this one. So Vasquez did catch on Sunday, so maybe Vasquez DHs in this game. But if they're going to DH a catcher, I would assume it's going to be Jeffers. As far as the White Sox bats go, I know they hit a couple home runs the other day against Joe Ryan. I'm just not doing it. I don't believe in this at all. I think that Joe Ryan is a very good pitcher. I think he's one of the best pitchers in baseball this year. And I don't think the White Sox are very good. So, hey, maybe they prove me wrong. I know it's back-to-back starts. I hate that. But I'm going to be out here on the White Sox. I'm not playing any of these guys today. Tampa Bay at Milwaukee. Got a 8.5 total pick'em game in this one. Ryan Piatt against Bryce Wilson. Pepiot. I know that's how, I'm pretty sure that's how the announcers say it. I just like saying Piatt, but we'll call him Pepiot here. He's 9,100 getting my Brewers. I need a Brewers hat. Like that might be my next hat I buy. I love playing the Brewers this year. They're just so fun. Anyway, Pepiot is a really solid arm. Again, like the thing that we're always worried about with like Tampa pitchers, and like I was talking about this on late Friday night with somebody on Discord. I forget who it was. If it's somebody in chat, I'm sorry. But we were talking about like Eflin, and I almost fully got off of Eflin on Friday because it was a 13 game slate. And I was like, he just doesn't have like he was facing. I forget who he was facing. It was a great matchup. was like, he just doesn't have the ceiling because he's a Tampa pitcher. And like paying these prices, it's just so, yeah, Derek, exactly. I mean, exactly. But it's just like the upside. You're worried about the ceiling here for him. He has shown the ability to get double digit strikeouts. So like, it's not the same thing as Eflin for me. There are some strikeouts in this lineup, but again, the Brewers are really solid. I don't think people realize just how solid this lineup is. Like, looking at these stats for this season, you know, strikeout rates around 22%, and they all hit, they all walk, and they all run. I mean, just about everybody in this lineup will run and steal bases. So if you let these guys get on the base pass, like, they turn walks into doubles, as we like to call it. It's really hard for me to pay pitchers against this team. I do think he is a great tournament play in general because he does have that strikeout upside. If Milwaukee's not hitting well, you could definitely take advantage of it. Ballpark downgrade for Pepiot here. I appreciate that, Robert. I appreciate that. I love baseball. I have loved baseball since I was 4 years old, and I love talking about it. I love NASCAR, but I love talking baseball too. Wilson, other side. Hey, if you didn't know, Bryce Wilson's not good. He's really not good. I don't care what he's done. He's just not good. All right. We're not playing Bryce Wilson today. There's a lot of arms. We're not doing that. Tampa is one of the most frustrating teams this season. It's so hard to play these guys. It's so hard to stack these guys. But again, it's really hard not to like them in this spot. I think this is a really good spot for them. We'll have to see. So Josh Lowe finished his rehab assignment, came back, and then was like working out in like a pregame workout and like had tightness in his hamstring, so they didn't activate him off the IL. He could potentially be back for this game, which I think is a bump to this lineup. He's kind of expensive. Again, I love Tampa in this spot because I don't think Bryce Wilson's good. Obviously, if we're looking at the stats here, Bryce Wilson really struggles with lefties. So I want the lefties in this spot for Tampa. I don't know if I full stack them. They probably end up as like a secondary stack for me more than like a full stack, but it's too good of a spot to pass on Wilson. And then as far as the Milwaukee hitters, I don't think there's going to be many slates this year that I don't use Milwaukee as at least a secondary stack. You know, we talk all the time about like power upside and home run upside. They're doing it all. They're running and they have some power upside. I mean, Terang, like, he's finally priced appropriate for his upside. This guy is just someone that, how much do we like, we played him so much, just in general, it's just really hard now at this price point. But again, like, this is a guy that multiple times this year has put up over 20 fantasy points, so he runs. If he gets on base, he's gonna run, and like, the teams know it and he still runs. So I mean, you're not gonna get a lot of ownership on him. Frelick, Perkins, Terang would be my favorites. I need a Brewers hat. Everyone knows I'm a Red Sox fan, but I like to rep those teams that don't get a lot of love, and I think the Brewers hat is going to be fitting.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I might order one after the podcast tonight. There has to be some cool Brewers hats. You all know that I love baseball hats. I have to be able to find a cool Brewers hat out there somewhere. All right, moving on. Philadelphia at LA taking on the Angels. It's really interesting. You know, I love your hats. Listen, I appreciate that. You know, I have a really sick minor league baseball collection as far as hats go, and I haven't had a chance to like put them all back up on my rack to be wearing them from renovating the office earlier this year, but it's going to happen. Like it's got to start rolling with my Solar Bears hat tonight. But yeah, my triple A baseball hats, man. Interesting slate is what I was going to get at really quick. We have four games that start at 7:40, and then we have all these games that are kind of going to start like after 9. So we get, it's really great. Yeah. All right. Gator Nation, man. Love the Gators. All right. Philly at LA. It was so funny. I'm not going to rant too long, but my daughter was at the hockey game with me tonight, and she was randomly talking to me about wanting to play volleyball for Florida. I was like, yeah, I'm in. Philadelphia at LA. We're getting there. 9 total. Philadelphia 134 favorite here. Carlos Sanchez against Griffin Canning. We'll go Carlos Sanchez here first. Carlos Sanchez is off to a really strong start this season. He struggled his last time out, and I don't know why. I'm pretty sure he had something happen to him, right? He walked and like struggled with BABIP a little bit last time out. And there were some errors. A lot of stuff happened with Carlos Sanchez's last start. I don't mind Sanchez here. I like right-handed pitching against the Angels a lot more than I like left-handed pitching. I think the price point on Sanchez for like his, this is a guy that can produce double-digit strikeouts. I mean, you always are worried a little bit about like walking people, and then like you are worried about the righties. He's likely going to face 9 right-handed hitters in this lineup, and some of them aren't the best, but this lineup's just better against left-handed pitching than they are against right-handed pitching. So I don't know if the team thing is updated yet. So like if you're looking at like Woba against like the pitchers on the slate, like he's going to be like a middle of the road pitcher here on Plate IQ because of the Woba matchup. You look at some of the strikeout upside, it's there, right? Like if you're looking at the projected lineup strikeout upside, it's there. We see the potential of like what Sanchez can do. It's not like the greatest matchup in the world. But you're also worried like his home run projection or the team's home run projection is like the second highest on the slate. No, and this will change as like projections and stuff get updated throughout the day. But like first look is like, hey, he might struggle with some home runs in this game. He has some strikeout upside. What do we do here? I think that it's always good to kind of pull up this like teams thing here and just kind of look through the slate, like on an overview of like, all right, who do I benefit from the park lefties in this matchup? Who benefits from the park righties in this matchup kind of thing? So, I mean, strikeouts, which team has the best potential Woba in this spot? You know, Atlanta Braves against Bryce Miller, which Atlanta, LA and Baltimore are always going to be up there. They're just so good. So and then you can kind of look at like the runs thing here, and again, this isn't like a Plate IQ ad. I'm just saying, like, if you are using this tool, make sure you're using it to its full potential on every single slate. So just wanted to really quickly show that. But good ground ball rate for Sanchez. He does a great job generating ground balls. Again, he's throwing a sinker 46.5% of the time, and he's using a changeup on top of the sinker. So he's really doing a great job of keeping hitters off balance. I think Sanchez, again, is someone that is on the list, and we'll see throughout the day, like as this lineup comes out and like how the lineups shake up just in general and if he's going to make it here. But I think you're definitely going to get a lot of ground balls from him. And again, I mean, he's in five starts this year. He's yet to allow a home run. So that's always good news, especially when you're like facing guys like Trout and these guys. So the other side of this one, hey, Griffin Cannon actually pitched pretty good last time out. It was against Baltimore. It wasn't stellar, but it was way better. So that's obviously a good sign for Griffin Canning. I'm not doing it. I need Griffin Canning to come out and like dominate a start before I even remotely even think about playing him, especially against a team like the Phillies. I think the Phillies are great, great contrarian stack today. I don't think the Phillies are going to get a ton of love. Again, I don't believe that Griffin Canning is 100%. And you look at the upside here, like Schwarber has upside, Turner has upside, Harper has upside, Brandon Marsh has been great this season to start the year. So if we switch over to just current stuff, like Marsh has a 350 ISO with a 448 WOBA against right-handed pitching this season. Schwarber, 263 ISO, 32% Gaze, 19.7% strikeouts this season for Canning against lefties. It was a little bit higher last year, but again, I don't think that like Griffin Canning's 100%. I think this is a great spot. You're getting them on the road. I think the Phillies are in a fantastic spot, and I definitely think this is one of those stacks you can get different with on this one. Because we're about to talk about the next game, and the next game is going to be a banger. As far as the Angels bats go against Sanchez, again, like Sanchez is a massive ground ball guy, which is, I mean, super concerning. So like, all right. Massive ground ball guy. Who's my fly ball hitters in this lineup? No one really. I mean, we with a ground ball rate this high, we really want to see this like fly ball rate like closer to 40%. So like, I will say Zach Nato has a good fly ball rate. His sample size is a little bit smaller, but he does have a good fly ball rate, and he's a cheap shortstop play. I just don't know if I'm playing Zach Nato to be like a home run guy. Just in general, I know he had a really good stretch there towards the end of last week. I would definitely take shots on Joe Adell because like Joe Adell, you are playing for home runs. You are playing for him for his like power upside. He's having a really strong start to the season quietly. So I think it'd be one-offs. You can one-off Mike Trout against anybody, but I definitely don't love playing Mike Trout at 6,300 against a massive ground ball guy that's allowed zero home runs this year. So if anything, I think it's Joe Adell. Ohapi is someone I like a lot against left-handed pitching, but I don't want to stack against Chris Sanchez. Like his ground ball, like again, he's just throwing a sinker so much. And like a sinker changeup combo is so good for like generating ground balls. So I just don't think I want to do it. And like when you have a guy throwing this many sinkers, like we can go and like, all right, what's the pitch type here? How does this team perform against sinkers? They haven't seen a lot of them, first of all. Looking at some of the basic stats here, not enough sample size that I think like we really want to pay too much attention to it. So I mean, sometimes it's that way, right? All right, Dodgers at Arizona, taking on the Diamondbacks. 10 total in this game. The Dodgers, a 148 favorite. We got James Paxton going up against Tommy Henry in this one. We're going to start here with Paxton. Strikeout rate is way down to start the season, and his swinging strike rate definitely suggests that like this strikeout rate is a problem. His walk rate is through the roof. And like he's had some good matchups. Like he faced Minnesota, he's faced Washington, and he's just struggling. That San Diego game, he walked, I think it was 8 hitters in that game. I definitely don't want to play James Paxton. He does not look right at all. Generating ground balls against lefties, but who cares? He's going to face 9 righties in this lineup. Well, Carroll probably in the lineup, so 8 righties. Not playing James Paxton today, and then definitely not even remotely thinking about playing Tommy Henry in this spot. Getting the Dodgers in a good ballpark here. Again, this is not one of those spots. I know he pitched well last time out. It's St. Louis. I can pitch good against St. Louis, so not doing it. let's talk bats. The bats in this game. This is the game that I think is going to have the most ownership as far as bats are concerned. Both sides. I think that this game is going to be a happy birthday to Josh type of game. Hope you have a fantastic birthday. I think this is a game that's going to have a ton of ownership and a ton of runs just in general. So this is going to be the game that a lot of people are going to circle on this slate. And I mean, look at it, right? Like Mookie Betts, 342 ISO, 454 WOBA against left-handed pitching. The two lefties here at the top, Otani and Freeman, both of these guys hit left-handed pitching well. Will Smith hits lefties well. Teoscar Hernandez hits lefties well. Chris Taylor can't hit anything to start the season, but throughout his career has been better against lefties. Paez in his small sample has hit lefties. So Tommy Henry is not an overpowering lefty. He gives up a lot of power. 243 ISO, 392 WOBA against righties this year. 56.6% hard hits, 11.3% barrels. A little over one out of every 10 balls getting barreled. So Dodgers, I mean, it's not a secret at this point. Play the Dodgers in this spot. Great spot. Arizona, Paxton with his walks and his command issues. I think this is a spot Arizona could go bonkers. Love Arizona in this spot. I think considering like ownership and pricing, I think I like Arizona more than I like the Dodgers today. Marino, Gurriel, Walker, Suarez, Grichik, Alexander, Kevin Newman. What is going on? Kevin Newman's hitting the ball. He had a couple home runs over the last few days. Like Kevin Newman, welcome to the majors. Welcome to hitting the ball. You look at this spot. They don't really walk a lot, but they also don't really strike out a lot, which is great for a matchup against Paxton. They're going to be hitting the ball in this one. So, yeah, I mean, I just overall love Arizona in this spot against James Paxton. Pittsburgh at Oakland. What a barn burner this one is, right? 8 total. Pittsburgh a 136 favorite. Bailey Falter against Joe Boyle. I don't understand. I understand the concept of how lines work. It's like home team is always going to get a bump and not. I get like that aspect of lines, but like Bailey Falter against Joe Boyle and Pittsburgh is only minus 136 in this spot. Like that's the kind of stuff that makes me like, huh? I don't get it. Whatever. If you're curious, I already bet Pittsburgh minus, I think the Hard Rock had him at minus 135. So, that's one of the ones I was like, what are we doing? But anyway, all right. Pitchers in this game, Bailey Falter, kind of already hinted at it earlier. I think Bailey Falter is okay in this spot. You know, this is a team that's actually going to throw a lot of righties at him. So I will say, like, if Bailey Falter starts to get, like, super chalky on this slate, I do think he's, like, the best pitcher that's under, like, 7K today. If he does start to get, like, super chalky today, I could potentially get off him a little bit. But, I mean, he's a guy that has some upside. He's not a huge strikeout guy, but like Oakland's not great. Even like they're going to throw a lot of these righties at him, but they are not like great righties, especially the bottom half of this lineup. The bottom half of this lineup is bad. Like you could potentially make an argument for stacking like the top half with like Ruiz, Roker, Langoliers, but the bottom half, you can't make an argument for the bottom half of this lineup at all. And we haven't seen Schumann a lot. And then as far as like Boyle, like he is not awful against righties, like 31% Ks. His WOBA 324, his ISO a little bit higher against righties. But like he is awful. He's awful against lefties. His walk rate's higher than his strikeout rate. His WOBA is really high, not generating ground balls, giving up 55% hard hits, and his swinging strike rate's under, it's at 8.3%. So if for some reason Pittsburgh rolls out a right-handed heavy lineup today, which I highly doubt they do, but if they do roll out a right-handed heavy lineup here, you could potentially play a little bit of Joe Boyle. Boyle would need like, you would need like Reynolds to get a day off. I would be okay with O'Neill Cruz because he still does strike out so much against left or right-handed pitching. Like you need Reynolds and like Swazinski to get days off. It's not going to happen. I highly doubt they do that. So I want some exposure to Pittsburgh bats. Not going stacked like full crazy here, but like it's a really good spot for O'Neill Cruz, Brian Reynolds, Jake Swazinski. I don't even mind like taking some tournament shots on like Rowdy Tellez here. He's been so bad to start the season that he's so cheap now, but we know he has that power upside. He had a couple doubles in San Francisco on Sunday. Maybe he can get rolling a little bit here, but yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh is a mini stack for me. It's not the best ballpark. And then Oakland, like I think Oakland, like even if you're playing, and this is one of the best parts about baseball, right? Like if you're playing like a 20 inch max, or if you're playing 150 teams, this is one of those matchups that you could potentially play a little falter. And then you could play a little bit of like Ruiz, Roker, Langliers, Toro. I think like you could potentially play a little bit of these Oakland righties. Like Falter is not an overpowering guy. He's a like potentially average pitcher. And this lineup's really bad. And that's one of the reasons that we have some interest in him. But like, I think like there's a way to play some of these Oakland bats in this spot. Kind of looking at pricing here really quick. And there is JD Davis is getting close to being back, but I don't think he'll be back for this series. But like Roker's 4K, Ruiz 4,300. We know he has upside. Langliers keeps hitting. He's 3,400. Toro's 3,200. Nevin is 2,400. So like if you're making a little stack here, mini stack, it's a mini stack. It's cheap, right? Like if you're wanting to stack like the Dodgers or Arizona and you need like a little cheap mini stack, I think that they're okay. It's not the best spot, but they're okay. They're okay. They're awful. Oakland stinks, but I think they're okay. Atlanta at Seattle, 7.5 total here. Atlanta, a 156 favorite in this one. 156 favorite on the road against Max Fried and Bryce Miller. Watch Max Fried in his last start. Ended up playing quite a bit of him on that slate. He was just so much cheaper than everybody else. And I forget there was like a really chalky like pitcher on that slate. And I can't remember who it was off the top of my head, but he pitched really well. Let's just really quickly say it was against Miami. Miami might be the worst team in baseball this year. So you're a little concerned about like it being him being back because it's a matchup with them. So I do worry a little bit here about Max Fried like being back. I was looking at some of his stuff here, like as far as like Baseball Savant before the show, and like some of his ex-WOBA and stuff is definitely concerning on some of his pitches. But again, like Max Fried does what he does. He generates ground balls. He doesn't typically get blown up, and he's not going to typically strike out a lot of hitters. The matchup's good and bad. We definitely want Max Fried against lefties, and I don't know if they'll necessarily have any lefties in this lineup with JP Crawford out. So you look at their stats this year and they have not been great, but I think there's enough quality hitters in this lineup where you are a little nervous about playing Max Fried. I think Max Fried's okay. I don't want to say like he's back, but he just threw a complete game 92 pitch shutout against Miami, but it's Miami. But that's the type of upside that Max Fried has. So good ballpark, nice ballpark upgrade. I don't mind Max Fried. Worry a little bit about his potential ownership. Bryce Miller on the other side of this game. I don't want to play Bryce Miller today against Atlanta. Plenty of times this year I'll play Bryce Miller. Last year, Bryce Miller really struggled with lefties. They're going to have enough lefties in this lineup with Albies back, Olsen in this lineup, Harris. I don't know, like Kelnick going back to Seattle, I feel like I'm going to have some exposure to him today just because I feel like he's going to be very, very amped to play this game. He's 3,300 too. And when you're stacking Braves, you need some cheap bets.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Anyway, Bryce Miller is not a bad pitcher by any means. He definitely struggles more with lefties. We're going to see some of his numbers this year regress a little bit as the season starts getting rolling. Derek, yeah, Seattle should send Kelnick should say thank you. I don't disagree. So for me in this spot, very interested in Atlanta. They have been, I feel like, really good or really bad. I don't think they're going to have a ton of ownership today. Pricing, Arizona, Dodgers, same kind of price range. They're in a much better spot, the Dodgers and the Arizona, than Atlanta. So, no, and like, there's not many slates on this year that you're going to be like, all right, Atlanta at low ownership, let's just fade them. Most of the time when you get Atlanta at lower ownership, you're like, I don't care who the pitcher is, I'm going to stack them because it's Atlanta. So, I'll have a few stacks. I'll probably end up playing like 20 lineups on the slate. And if I do that, I'll probably like 15-20% main stack them here. So 3-4 teams. Just to get different a little bit. As far as Seattle bats go, even like when Max Fried is struggling a little bit, I still don't like to play hitters against him. I mean, he generates ground balls. He doesn't typically walk people a lot. He throws 15 different pitches. That's a joke, but I mean, it's kind of not a joke. He throws fastball, curveball, changeup, sinker, sweeper, slider. Like, kind of a joke, but not really a joke. So, just saying. I don't think this is a spot I want to play a lot of Seattle. Like, again, like Julio, it's been a really rough start to the season for him. Kyle Riley is someone I love against left-handed pitching. Dylan Moore is solid against left-handed pitching, but I don't know how much Dylan Moore I get to. It's just, yeah. I already said that, K-Town. Kelnick against... You gotta have a little Kelnick today. All right, last game on the slate. Appreciate everyone hanging out with us, with me. I say us because I'm so used to having a co-host again. I feel so bad that Will couldn't be here today. I love my Sunday night, get back in the baseball swing with Will. We've been doing Sunday podcasts together for so long now that I just absolutely love it. Dean is here in spirit. Hey, listen, I try. Congratulations to Dean. Like, let's give Dean a little shout out. Dean took down the 222 single entry like leaderboard. Like overall. Like, I think it was like 3K or something, but he finished first. So shout out to Dean consistently getting it done last week in the 222 and taking down number one spot in that leaderboard. It was a single entry leaderboard contest or whatever they were running. So don't ever tell Dean that I said something nice about him. There's no evidence. I'm going to erase this part of the podcast. But yeah, I mean, shout out to Dean. That's awesome to see. Good for him. All right, Cincinnati at San Diego, 7.5 total. Basically a pick 'em game here. Nick Lodolo against Mr. Matt Waldron, who had the knuckleball working in Coors. Lodolo coming off a start against Philly, struggled in that one. I guess I should switch over. played IQ here. But I think that like this is not the worst spot for him, low ownership wise. Like, they are going to throw a lot of righties at him, and they don't strike out, and that's like your concern. But yeah, I guess like the more I think about it, the more I probably don't want to play Lodolo because they don't strike out a ton. And he's 98. I keep forgetting that he's so expensive now. We don't get to play a lot of Cincinnati because they're typically on like those early like start slates. I originally wrote down like Lodolo as like a play here, but like the more I look at it and stuff, the more I'm not as excited to play him in this one. Yeah, I mean, he does have like that four pitch mix that we love to see. Doesn't throw a sinker a ton. Does curveball, probably tries to backdoor a lot of curveballs against right-handed hitters. So you worry about the strikeouts in this matchup. They're going to throw a lot of righties against him. I think Lodolo is someone that is super talented, but I might have to pass at this price. He's expensive on FanDuel and DraftKings today, so it's tough. It's not going to have any ownership, though, and I do think he's a talented young pitcher. Waldron, again, like he had the knuckleball going in Coors. Everything I read his knuckleball is going to be flat. And like, it was just weird. I hated it because I stacked the Rockies a ton, but good for Matt Waldron. Cincinnati is a free swinging team, so I could see Waldron getting some strikeouts in this spot, maybe keeping the ball in the yard against them. I think the thing you worry about the most here with Waldron is like, the potential steals for someone that throws knuckleballs and doesn't typically throw very hard anyway. Like, this is a team that loves to run. So I am much more interested in the Cincinnati bats today than I am in Waldron. Again, knuckleball guys are going to have good games from time to time, and they were just swinging over and grounding the knuckleball out so much in Coors. Back at sea level here, I like Cincinnati's bats more than I like Waldron. Benson, Elly De La Cruz, Steer, Fraley, all these guys I think are in play here. Nick Martini kind of like rejolting his career in Cincinnati this year. So, I mean, I will say like if this game was in Cincinnati, Cincinnati would be one of my highest stacks on the slate. I don't like this ballpark as much, but like they give you so much upside with like their stolen bases and stuff that it's hard not to have a little bit of interest in them. So going to be stacking some Cincinnati today for sure. San Diego, again, I think Lodolo is really, really talented, and he's someone that I don't necessarily want to stack against. And like San Diego is like captain gutless this season. If they're not getting any ownership, I think you could potentially stack like a Kim Tatis type of build and build around those two guys. It's just not something I love. Like, I don't know. Even if we look at like some current season stuff, Machado has a 462, 448 wOBA against lefties. But I mean, I don't believe this Rosario thing. I've watched some of his at bats and they're just not great. So he's 2,600 though. If you want to take some Suarez or some Rosario, he does have a 440 ISO, but he has a huge strikeout rate. And like Lodolo is a good strikeout pitcher that can attack hitters. So I lean Lodolo over Rosario, but I just wanted to point out that like he does have some solid splits against left-handed pitching power-wise, strikeout-wise, not so much. All right, let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here because it's 1:37 on the East Coast, and I'm chaperoning tomorrow, so I need to go to bed. Dad life, man. Gotta love it. I absolutely love it. If you're a dad, you feel me. If you're a mom, you feel me. It's just the greatest joy. Under 8K to get six or more strikeouts today. I was struggling with this one before the show. I really don't love a lot of strikeout people in this range. I think like I didn't write anybody down because I really don't know. Like it's really hard to put on like a high strikeout play under this price range today because I don't think any of these guys have a lot of strikeout upside. I'll go Bailey Falter. I think that is, I guess it's him or Tyon. Tylan was my other one for what it's worth. Those, it was between those two guys. Over 8K to score under 15. Who is my bust today? And I really hate to say this because I've been on this train, or shall I say bike. Give me Carrot Crochet as my bust today. Who's my favorite pitcher on the slate? If price isn't an object, Joe Ryan is my favorite pitcher on the slate. I absolutely, Joe, like, I'm going to prioritize him today. Obviously, you won't be able to prioritize him as much in like your high end builds, but I like Joe Ryan a lot today. One of the reasons that I like Falter is because like Joe Ryan Falter still gives you bats. It still gives you bats. So, over 4K to hit a home run today. I mean, I got to go with my man. I'm going to make him the pitcher today as far as like for the image for the website. I'm going to go with my man, Bryce Harper, in this one. I really like the Phillies today. Under 4K to get two hits. I forgot to write one of these down. I apologize. I mean, right off the bat, I like Varsho. I like Blaze Alexander. They're under 4K to get two hits. I mean, both of those guys, either one of those guys, I think are fantastic. So, I mean, I said Varsho a lot last week. So let's go Blaze Alexander against Paxton. Sneaky good against lefties. Stack to score six or more runs. Give me the Phillies. I like the Phillies a lot today. I think this is a really good spot for Philadelphia. I hope they go underowned. And yeah, I mean, I like them a lot. Someone, Castro, two hits. Yeah, I like that too. I think that that's a really good call against Crochet. Willie Castro has been hitting the ball a ton. So I definitely don't mind that one at all. Any player props? So I looked pre-show. Let me pull up our back end page here really quick because it's easier to look at the back end stuff for props. Let me see really quick. There's a couple that I definitely wouldn't mind looking at. Let me. All right. All right, so this is available. Oh, it's not available. Oh, man. Oh, okay. This is available on DraftKings right now, it says. So Griffin Canning, under 5.5 strikeouts at almost even money. So I like this one a lot. Griffin Canning really hasn't shown a ton of strikeouts. So I like this one over there on DraftKings Sportsbook. So take advantage of that. I like under 5.5 strikeouts for him. I already gave out my other one that I like today, and that is going to be the Pittsburgh Pirates money line -135 against Oakland. That's it. That's it for the show. Appreciate everyone hanging out. If you like these Played IQ solo breakdowns, post in the comments below and tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. We appreciate it. I try to read all the comments every single day. I don't always do it, but I try to. So appreciate all you guys' support. I absolutely love the direction of the live shows and getting to hang out with everybody live, even at 1:40 in the morning. That's going to wrap it up here for Monday. We're back tomorrow, Tuesday, talking baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.